Vava mid base. No, it's in fact, thanks. Vava mid base. Okay, we're Tanra Bonan. Midway, halfway through the page of Vava mid base. The last Mishnah we learned, a few lines before this, that said the Gemara was discussing about watering fields. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said, it's important to know this for the next piece of Gemara. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, you're allowed to draw water from tree to water it, but you can't water a whole field. So then he says, plants that were not watered before Yom Tov, you're not allowed to water on Chol HaMoed. Chachamim matir in zeh bezeh, the Chachamim hold you could do it. So the Gemara is discussing that if it's sadim etunenes, meaning if it's a dried out field, that means it was wet, but it dried out, so then if you don't water it, it's going to get ruined. And we learned, basically, throughout the Gemara, that anything that's going to get ruined, if you don't water it, you're allowed to water on Chol HaMoed, not Yom Tov, but Chol HaMoed. So now the Gemara says like this, Tan Rabban Rabbanan learned, Marbitin, stay lavan b'shvias. You're allowed to sprinkle a grain field. Stay lavan is called white because the grain turns white when it ripens. It's one explanation. But anyway, you're allowed to sprinkle a grain field with water during Shemitah, meaning even though Shemitah you're not allowed to work in the field, the sabbatical year, but you can sprinkle water on the grain, but avolei b'mayit, not on Chol HaMoed. Okay? So the Gemara asks, Vatanya, but we learned in a different braisa, marbitzin, you're allowed to sprinkle a water on a grain field, bein b'mayit, bein b'shvias, whether it's mayit or shvias. And here we just got through saying that on Chol HaMoed you cannot. But both braises say Shemitah you could. But one braise says Chol HaMoed you can sprinkle water, and the other braise says you can't. So Amar Ravuna says, not a problem. It's different opinions. Like Asha, Hada Belazar ben Yaakov, the braise that says you're not allowed to sprinkle a grain field on Chol HaMoed is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov of our Mishnah. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says you can't sprinkle water on a field. And the braisa that says you are allowed to is Rabbanan. It goes according to the Chacham. So now the Gemara says, Tanya Idach, we learned in another braisa. Marbit and stay lovon, you're allowed to sprinkle a grain field out of Shvias before Shemitah. Kedei sheyetze yirokes b'shvias. That vegetables should grow during the sabbatical year. Now, the din is, and the sabbatical year, you're now to work the field. But the Brice over here is saying that you can water it before Shemitah, that when Shemitah comes, you have vegetables grow out. Now, the din is, we're not going into the din about, the vegetables that grow during Shemitah are hefker, they have a kedusha shvius, you have to eat them a certain way, a certain level of kedusha. Without this, it's not turned out.
Use them?
Yeah, because you didn't, the issur is not to eat fruit that grew during Shemitah. The issa is you're not allowed to work the field during Shemitah.
So
he's saying here, one second, he's saying here you can plant, you can water it before Shemitah. Not only that, he says, El Shemar beats and stay love and b'shvias, you're allowed to water, sprinkle a field during Shemitah, kedei sheyetze yirokes l'metzoy shvias, that they should be able to grow after Shemitah. That means, because we learned like this, biblically, it's not considered forbidden to water a field during Shemitah. Because that's not called working the field. Working the field means planting, cultivating, plowing. Sprinkling on a pre-existing field is not biblically forbidden on Shemitah. So the Braisa says like this, you can water grain out of Shvias, that it should grow during Shvias, and you can water it Shvias, that it should grow after Shvias. Now there's two, if you see on the side of the Gemaras, there's a Rashi Ksav Yad and there's a regular Rashi. The Mamish contradict each other over here. Because Rashi, in the side over here says that you can water a field in Shemitah, that it should grow after Shemitah. Rashi says, and definitely for Shemitah, that it should grow during Shemitah. And Rashi over here, in our Rashi, says no, for Shemitah you can't. So it's like a contradiction within Rashi himself.
What is Rashi Ksav Yad?
Rashi Ksav Yad is an older version of Rashi that they found. So over there it says that you could do it, that it should grow after Shvius, and definitely during Shvius. And our Rashi says, no, when the Brais is saying you could do it in Shemitah, to grow after Shemitah, but not for the Shemitah. Okay.
How do they resolve the Rashi?
I don't know how they resolve the Rashi. It's not relevant.
Particular Rashi?
No.
There's no particular one. So, so how did this contradiction happen?
I don't know.
All right. For that matter, are we allowed to water plants on Shabbat?
No.
No, I'm saying for like a sprinkler to run on Shabbat automatically.
If it runs automatically on Shabbos, there are opinions that hold you're not allowed to. But most opinions say that you are allowed to, because there are opinions in halacha, contemporary halacha obviously, that say the only thing you can use a timer for is lights. That's it. Nothing else. So based on that, you can't sprinkle your lawn on Shabbos even with a timer. But most opinions say, especially nowadays when everybody knows that when the sprinklers go on, everybody knows you have a timer, nobody's going to be thinking that you're standing there watering your lawn. So therefore the minig is that you could. Okay, now the next mission. What?
Moving flowers on your Shabbos table is okay, right?
What's left to do?
No, he just said, water it.
No, it's all watering.
Water.
If cut flowers, you're allowed to move. Cut flowers are not muksa. Okay, now starts another interesting mission.
Are you saying cut flowers are not muksa?
Yeah, but we're not learning muksa now. Sunday morning, we're learning muksa. Now the Mishnah says, now the Mishnah is talking about trapping animals that ruin your field. Now, there's a lot of roaches and bugs and fruit flies and all the other things.
Is that the one?
Yeah, that's the ishis. No, the Gemara is going to ask what an ishis is. But anyway, it's a mole. That's what they call it in English here, a mole. That has no eyes, or the eyes are covered, and it grows underground and it ruins your field. We'll see. The Mishnah mentions a number of animals. The bottom line of that, you're allowed to do things on Chol HaMoed that you shouldn't have a loss. Now, certain things, animal bugs, that cause big losses, you can trap the regular way of trapping. Bugs that cause minor damage, so the Chacham permitted you to do it with different than always. And that's what this Mishnah is going to be talking about. The Mishnah says, Tzadina, so Ishus, you're allowed to trap an Ishus. What it is, we'll see in a second. V'esu achbonim and mice, mistei o'ila and mistei alavan, from an orchard and from a grain field, kedarkei, the normal way of doing it. And the Gemara is going to explain what's the normal way of catching bugs. B'mayid u'b'shvias. Mayid, Chol HaMoed, and in Shemitah. Because, again, capturing bugs, L'cha'era, is not working the field. Right? And in fact, the bottom of it, they asked the question, L'cha'era, why would I think he can do it during Shemitah? During Shemitah, he can't work the field, but catching bugs, what does that have to do with Shemitah? So they write that it could be that trapping bugs that hurt the field is called cultivating the field. It's like weeding, for that matter, because you're weeding out the things that damage the field. Anyway, so the Mishnah says, Chachamim say like this, Mistei o'ilan, from an orchard, kedarka, you can catch bugs the normal way. Mistei alavon, shalai kedarka. From a grain field, only in an unusual manner. And the Mepharshim explained like this, an orchard, as we know, Bagashmis, an orchard is ruined more by these mice and bugs, or roach, or whatever they are, more than a grain field. So the first opinion of the Mishnah says, it's enough of a loss, whether it's an orchard or a grain field, you could do it the regular way of catching it. Chachamim hold no. Because a grain field is less loss and less damage to the field than an orchard, so an orchard, you're allowed to catch the bugs in a regular way. And a grain field, you have to do a shinui. And again, the Gemara is going to explain the whole Mishnah, what it means. And then it says another din. What happens if you have a broken fence? A breach in the fence. So the Mishnah says you can fix it on Chol HaMoed. Okay? and the Gemara is going to explain how to fix it. Ubashvius, and in Shemitah, Baina Kedarka, you're allowed to build the wall. That means like this. Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to build the wall around your field. That's building. Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to build. If it broke, and now you're going to have a loss of money because Ganavim will get in, or animals will get in, or whatever. So you're allowed to stop a loss. So Chol HaMoed, you can fix a fence. Shemitah, the Mishnah says you can even build a fence. Because again, that's not called working the land. It's just making a fence. Making a fence is not forbidden during Shemitah. So this is basically the Mishnah. So the Mishnah basically is saying, sometimes you can catch things the regular way. Sometimes you have to do it with a shinui. I mean, not the normal way of doing it. And walls, you can fix a wall during Chol HaMoed, but not build it. Shemitah, you can even build the wall. That's what the Mishnah says. So the first question, the Gemara, is, my Ishus. What is this Ishus guy? I mean, what type of bug is this? Amr Rav Yehuda, Rav Yehuda said, Briya she'en lo inayim. It's a bug, a creature that has no eyes. And he explains, Rashi explains like this. It burrows under the ground, and that's how it damages the field. Taisus says it's a mole. Now, they write, a mole also is a tiny creature that the skin covers the eyes. So when you look at it, it doesn't look like it has eyes. So it's basically the same thing of what Rashi learns, it's a bug, what the Gemara says, it's a bug that has no eyes. It's not a contradiction, because a mole, when you look at it, doesn't have eyes. So the Gemara says, how do you know this? How do you know that Inishis means a mole? Amr Rav Abaye Yishmael, V'yisem Rav Yemer. In fact, it's interesting, when they speak about spies, they always say there's a mole in the government. No? Yeah. There's a mole, because that's what it means, this bug that has no eyes, you can't see him, he goes underground, you don't see him either. You know, it's this underground shtick. Amr Rav Abaye Yishmael, V'yisem Rav Yemer, Bashalema. Micro, where do we learn that this Ishus is something which is unable to see? So he says, it's a pasuk b'Tehillim that says like this, "Kameshablu temes yalech," like the snail that melts and slithers away. Eishes balchazu shemesh. The Eishes, which is Ishes, never sees the sun. So you see, what do you mean never sees the sun? Either it's underground, always. And in fact, they bring down over here that it's, no, he says that when it comes out of the earth, it the sun blinds it. So you can't even see the sun. Even when it comes out of the ground, it still can't see the sun, because it's always in the darkness of the ground, so when it comes out, it gets blinded by the sun. Okay, now the Gemara says like this. Tan Rabban Rabbanunut. The Gemara is going to give you a lesson in ants. An ant lesson. Tan Rabban Rabbanunut. Like this is a quote from the Mishnah, basically. You can capture Ishus and mice from Steyalovin and Steyilin Kedarke, which was the first opinion of the Mishnah. And Machrivan Churei Nemolim. You could destroy ant holes on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, Keitzim Machrivan, how do you destroy ant holes? What do you do? It's very interesting. The Gemara says, Shem Gamliel Eimer, maybe offer Michur Zeh, you take earth from a different ant hole, and you bring it to this ant hole, Vein Chenkin Zeh Ezen, the ants choke each other. Listen, you're reading what I'm reading. They choke each other. Now, the Mephashim explained like this. When they smell, and it's very interesting, the way the Gemara knew this, I mean, when ants smell foreign soil, they go crazy. They said they panic and they kill each other. That's what Rashi says. Rashi explains in the Gemara over here. When they smell the dirt and makir and ba'esi offer, and they don't recognize the dirt because it's from a different ant hole, so they go crazy and they start killing each other. Another thing the Mefarshim explain, the other Rashi Ksaviad says, that what happens is that when you bring dirt from one hole to another hole, so there's ants from both holes now getting together and start killing each other. Because they're only loyal to ants from their own hole. But another hole, they start fighting. Okay, so the Gemara says that's the way you get rid of it. But no, this price is only talking about Chol HaMoed. But there's no reason why you can't do it on Shemitah for sure.
Right.
I mean, you're not doing anything. You're just destroying, killing ants. So now the Gemara says they didn't have raid in those days. Terminates. Amar Av Yemer Bashlemi Shmei Dabaya. But he says, what is considered two different holes? How far apart do the holes have to be? The Gemara says, with the Koy Betrei Ivre Nara, this is only effective, what we said, if they're on two sides of the river. I mean, one antol on one side of the river, another antol on the other side of the river. When would the lack of gishra, there's no bridge, would the lack of gamla, and there's no plank to walk across the river, would the lack of mitzvah, and there's no rope. You used to cross rivers, sometimes used to attach ropes, and used to hold on to the rope and like go across. No. So he says, because if there's a connection between both sides of the rivers, the ant know the soil on both sides. Because the ants can go on this stuff. So the ants keep going back and forth. So for them, it's not foreign soil. So then the ants are not going to kill each other. I'm not, because they're not going to get nervous. So the Gemara says, what is considered, if you want to kill bugs, what do you have to do? You have to take dirt, ant hole dirt, from two sides of the river, where there's no bridge, no plank to walk across, and no rope. And the Gemara says, "Vat kama, how far apart do they have to be? At parsa, a parsa. A parsa is 4 mil, which is altogether 8,000 amis, which is between, as we say in English, 2.3 to 3 miles apart. It's very far.
It's not practical.
No, because the Gemara says, up to then, the ants, I don't see anybody saying, but I assume what it means is that space of 3 miles, the ants go back and forth. So for them, it's not foreign soil. But if it's more than that, and it's two sides of the river, no, whatever, so then they don't go there, and they smell foreign soil, and then they kill each other.
This is not excessive work to walk 3 miles to get soil from.
Walking is not. They probably went by horse. Take the Gemara says no. No, the reason why it's allowed, because he destroyed the field. But it's not excessive work. Because then the excessive work would still be forbidden.
Aren't ants supposed to be very strong too? Or they carry a lot on their backs?
So. Yeah, per size.
Per size.
They can't carry this book. No. Per density, ants are very strong. But not.
2.3 to 3.
Yeah.
And there has to be a river?
But you see from here that clearly the din is you can kill ants. If they're bothering you.
And now Shabbos.
No, this is only Chol HaMoed. You're right, Shabbos you can do it.
Is Chol HaMoed always much stricter than Shabbos?
No. Certain things you could do on Chol HaMoed you can't do on Shemit. Okay, now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, in the Mishnah it said, Rabbi Yehuda says, Misteya Ilan, Kedarke, if you want to do stay or ilan, kedarke, it's very interesting. In our Mishnah says chachamim emrim, but they say taka the Gemara over here. Where's the Zion? Yeah, Rabbi Yehuda. If you look at our Mishnah says chachamim emrim, mistay ilan kedarke, or mistay alavin ainik kedarke. And here the Gemara says it's Rabbi Yehuda that says it. But even in the Mishnah, there's a version that says it's not the Chachamim Eimrim, it's Rabbi Yehuda Eimer. Which makes more sense, by the way. Because you don't have an individual opinion who's nameless, and then you say Chachamim Eimrim. Usually it works the opposite. We have a nameless opinion, which is everybody, and then Rabbi Yehuda says what he says. Okay, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yehuda said, Mistei Ilan, by the way, Tesis brings down just two opinions. When the Gemara said about the ants of Parsa, does it mean with the river in between or without a river in between? So Tesis, one Tesis brings down two. Tesis says, "Afilu b'loy nahar." If it's a Parsa, even without a river, they don't recognize each other. And the other opinion says, "Inami." When there is a river, then even only up to a parsa. More than a parsa, even if there's a river, it's nothing. Okay, then the Gemara says,
Tan Rabban Rabban Alert. Does that mean that if a person has an ant raid in his kitchen, you go 3 miles, grab some dirt, and stick it around the place where they're walking?
I would strongly suggest to have a raid. It's easier. But if you were soon going to see the Gemara, another way of killing bugs. It's unbelievable what the Gemara says. Okay, we'll see. Now, Mamish now. Tan Rabban Rabban Alert. Keita Kedarki. The Mishnah said, according to Rabbi Yud at least, stay in an orchard where bugs do big ruining damages. You could do it the normal way of catching, of trapping. In a grain field where it's not such a big loss, you have to do it with a shinui, different than always. So the Gemara asks, Tadraban, Rabban said in the Braith, Keita Kedarke, what is considered normal trapping? What's the normal way of trapping animals? So the Gemara says, Chayfet Guma, you make a hole in the ground, and you put a trap in it. That's the normal way of killing it. Okay? Meaning, like Rashi explains, the hole allows the rodents to go out of their place, so they go into the hole, and then they get trapped by the trap. So when Mar says, what shall I kadarka? What's not the normal way of catching roaches? He says, na'et shiput. You put a spit into the ground, meaning a sharp stick into the ground, and you bang with a hammer, and it flattens the ground beneath them, and they're caught between the falling earth and they get crushed. Now, the normal way of catching rodents was you dug a hole in the ground, you put a trap and you caught them. How's the not normal way of doing it? You put a stick in the ground, you bang it, the earth loosens, and it falls on top of the rodents. Whatever. What?
Why don't you just put a trap and do it with your left hand, but put a trap? Can you do that?
Well, that would be the normal way of doing it.
You can't just do it with your left hand.
No, that's not for this. It wouldn't be called a shinui. No. Because people put down traps with the right hand. You can put down a trap with any hand. Okay, Tanya, we learned in a braisa like this. Reb Shimon Elazar says, when the Chachamim, the Kohen Rab Yehuda, said that in a grain field you have to trap it the not normal way, meaning by banging the ground, whatever. He says, Le Amru, that then only applies b'stei loven asmuch le'ir, a grain field that's near the city where there's no trees. I will stay loven hasmuch le'stei ilon, but if it's a grain field that's near an orchard, afilo kedarka, you could do it. Why? Because if the fields are near each other, the rodents go out of the grain field to the orchard. So then if you don't kill the rodents in the grain field, you're going to ruin the orchard.
What if it's not your orchard?
Doesn't matter, it's still going to ruin it.
But you're helping somebody else.
So what? You're allowed to do. So he says, if there's a grain field near the city, meaning there's no trees around, so there's no danger of ruining trees, you just kill them shalai kadarki, the not normal way. But if there's an orchard, so then you have to kill them the normal way. And it says, Shema yeitim estei alovin, they might go out of the grain field, v'yachrivo se'ilonis, and they're going to destroy the trees. So because of that, you can do it the normal way. And then it says, u'mekarin esapirtze b'mayit, you're allowed to close a hole in the fence, a breach in the fence, during Chol HaMoed. Okay? And the Mishnah concluded, in Shemitah, you can even build the wall. So the Gemara asks, Keita Mekarden, how do you fix the wall? How do you fix the wall during Chol HaMoed? Because it can't be done in a professional manner. Meaning like this, Chol HaMoed, even what you're allowed to do, you can't do professionally, in a professional way. So the Gemara says, how do you fix a fence in an unprofessional way? So the Gemara says two answers. Huh? One second. The Gemara doesn't say that. Yesev Amar, behutzav edafna, with palm branches and laurel, whatever that is. The laurel branches, it's a type of a tree. Basically, you take, like a schach, you use it for schach, and you put it there and you just close it up. Because it's not permanent, so it's not professionally done, so you're allowed to do it. But masnita tana in a braisa we learned, tzar b'tzror, You can pile it with stones. But you don't smear them with plaster, because then it's not. Then it's professional. So, and as Rashi explained, Foshim explained, they're not contradicting each other. It's not two different opinions. It's two different ways the Gemara says you could do it. Either by making palm branches, which is a temporary type of a fixing, or you put stones, but you don't cement it, because cemented makes it professional. Then the Gemara continues. In the Mishnah it said you can fix a wall Chol HaMoed, but you can't build a wall Chol HaMoed. But Shemitah, you can build a wall. Amar Rav Chisda, Rav Chisda said like this. Leishanu, this then only applies Kaisal Aginam, the wall of a garden. Meaning, if people go into the garden, it's not going to be a big loss. So therefore, the Chacham said, you can't build a wall, you can only fix it, you know, haphazardly. Aval Kaisal Achotzer, but if you're talking about a Kaisal of a Chotzer, so then the din is Baina Kadark, a courtyard. Now, a courtyard is where people live. So if there's a breach in the courtyard wall, so then Ganovim are going to come in. In fact, there's in the Gemara that says, Pirtza Kareda Laganov. A hole in the wall invites a Ganov to come in. The Gemara uses the expression, a Pirtza calls a Ganov to come in. So the Gemara says, then you can fix it, you could build the wall in the usual way of doing it. Now, based on this, by the way, if there's a broken house wall, you can also fix it the proper way. By the way, when the Gemara says here, Baina Kadark, the Gemara doesn't mean to build it if it wasn't there. The Gemara means to rebuild it, to fix it, you could do it the normal way, that it should be, you know, sturdy and not a temporary thing. Definitely if it was there. You can't build, the Gemara is going to say you can't, well, the Gemara is going to ask a question, if it's takana, then, you know, but otherwise you can't build a wall if it wasn't there. Why? You survived until now, you survive another week. But here, there was a wall, so you did have protection, it broke, so if it's a field where the loss is not going to be that big, so then you can only make a temporary wall. But if it's going to be a loss, then you could do a regular wall. So Gemara says, Leim Messiah Lucheda Rav Chisda Zin, we can prove from a Braisa. What does it say in a Braisa? If a guy had a wall of his courtyard that was leaning into the public street, meaning it's about to collapse, say that you're allowed to demolish it, obey the kedarke, and you could build it up on a regular way, because it's dangerous. What's the danger? If the wall falls down in the street, people, God forbid, can get hurt. Right? So therefore, the Gemara says, you're allowed to fix it, but you can even demolish it and rebuild it. So the Gemara wanted to bring a proof from here to Rav Chisda, that you see, if there's a loss, you could do it the normal way. But the Gemara says, no, what are you talking about? It's not a proof. Over there, it's just clear because it's sakana. If you're talking sakana, for sure you could do it. Hasam, the Gemara asks, Kidiktani time of the reason is Mipnea Sakana. But how do you know Rav Chisda says that because of a loss of money, you could build a wall the normal way of doing it? Now, the Ritva over here, they bring down the bottom, very simple question that the Ritva asks. What did the Gemara think at the beginning? The Gemara wanted this to prove to Rav Chisda. That Rav Chisda says, if there's going to be a loss of money, if you don't fix the wall, you can build it the normal way. So what's the Gemara proving it from? I mean, the Gemara is not foolish. The Gemara is bringing a proof to Rav Chisda from a braisa that says, a wall that's dangerous, if it collapses, you can fix it. What's there to prove? I mean, that's sakana. You want to prove to Rav Chisda from that din that if there's a loss of money, you can build a wall normally? What's the connection between? I mean, what's the Gemara's havamina? The Gemara answers over there, sakana is different. But the Gemara, what did the Gemara think to begin with? So he explains like this, it's interesting. The Ritva answers as follows. If it's only sakana, all you should be allowed to do is demolish the wall. Why do you have to rebuild it? If you're talking about danger, danger says demolish the wall. But the Braisa doesn't say demolish the wall. The Braisa says demolish the wall and rebuild it. So the Gemara's proof was like this. The fact that you're allowed to demolish and fix it, why do you have to fix it now? Only because of loss of money. The people from the street shouldn't go into the... So what do you see from there? That the Braisa permits building for the sake of loss of money. So then what's the Gemara's answer? But the Gemara answer is no. The reason why we allow him to build, okay, that's not sakana. Because if you don't let him build, he's not going to demolish. And that would be dangerous. Because you tell the guy, his courtyard is going to be wide open to the street. Yeah? If you tell him demolish, but you can't build, well, the guy's not going to do it. He doesn't care what happens to the people in the street. He's Jewish. Who cares what happens to them as long as nobody takes his money? So the Gemara thought, the fact that the Braisa not only says demolish, but that you can rebuild, shows that you can rebuild for a loss of money. So the Gemara says, no. Now the Gemara makes much more sense, by the way, both the question and the answer of the Gemara. The Gemara's answer is that you're going to let him, if you don't let him build, after he demolishes it, he's not going to demolish it. I'll give you a similar practical halach, and this is what they tell me, the Paskin Eretz Yisrael. A wife's having a baby. Okay? So technically, let's speak an American halacha. Not Israeli halacha, America halacha. You drive your wife to the hospital to have a baby. What's the problem?
On Shabbos.
Yom Tov. Okay. You drive your wife to the hospital on Shabbos, so you're allowed to drive because it's pikuach nefesh. The question is, once you get to the hospital, you're allowed to close the engine? No. Yeah. No.
So how do you shut the engine off?
What do you have to shut the engine for? That's not sakana. No, shutting the engine is not sakana. So the halacha is, it's a problem. It's a problem.
You're not allowed him to turn up.
So now it's just y'all. No, but the Gemara is saying over here, because you don't let the guy not build the wall, he's not going to demolish it. And this is what I was told. Now it's just totally paskind. Because over there, the taxi drivers are all Jews. Right? So this is no different. So they paskind. Now it's just, so this is what I was told. That you're allowed to, when you go to the hospital, to drop a fuel, you're allowed to close the engine. Why? Because if not, you're not going to take it to the hospital. They won't take it to the hospital. So that itself, like Gemara says over here, you're going to knock down the wall, and you're not going to let the guy rebuild the wall in Chol HaMoed. So it's going to be, is he not going to demolish the wall? So what's demolishing?
I want to get back to the car.
One second. So if you don't demolish the wall, one second. If you don't demolish the wall, I mean, if you allow him to demolish the wall because of Sakana, and you tell him that you can't build the wall Chol HaMoed, so then he won't demolish. So you see that the Chacham, and this is only Chol HaMoed, by the way, this Shabbos is even worse. You're telling the guy, Mamash Shabbos, Mechal Shabbos, closing the motor, because otherwise he won't do it. But this is similar to the concept of the Gemara saying.
He's allowed to on Shabbos.
Yeah, this is what I was told. I didn't see it in writing. This is what I was told.
You can't shut your engine off?
Are you allowed to extinguish your fire on Shabbos?
No.
So why are you allowed to?
So why do they pass?
So you have a guy to close, if you have to, you ask a guy to close the motor.
You're not allowed to ask a guy to close the motor.
That you could do. Because the chayla and this, that's rabbinic already, but to close a motor is biblically forbidden.
So over here, we don't pass like they do in Israel. We actually
over here, you pass and you take a taxi.
A gosha taxi.
Right. Huh?
A gosha taxi.
Yeah, because then there's less chil Shabbos.
But you have to call one first. Then you have to call.
So?
Maybe the goy called for you.
First of all, you're allowed to call. Some people say you kick the receiver off the hook with your foot because that's the main Chilul Shabbos. But even if not, you don't understand. That's one time Chilul Shabbos. You're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos, but you want to minimize, yeah?
Can you ask the question?
Every time you step on the brake, you're Mechal Shabbos. The lights go on, the brake lights. Every time you step on the gas, the brake lights go off. Every time you step on the gas, you're causing more fuel to go into the tank. You're causing fire. Turning on the signals, the this. I mean, you name it. And if you have digital reading speedometer, forget it. If you have the regular ones, it's not a problem. If you have digital, every time you're going, it's... So the truth is there's a ton of Chilul Shabbos going. Not only that. Even when you go by taxi, we're going off the topic, I'm finishing with this. Even when you go by taxi, The taxi driver should open the car door and close the car door and open the car door and close the car door.
Because every time you do it... Gets paid off the Shabbos.
You have money in the house.
Don't get lost.
Okay. So now the Gemara says, weiter. So now the Gemara says, other people say that this price wasn't used as a proof to Rav Chisda, it was a question on Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda said a statement that the whole din of the Mishnah applies only to a fence around the field. But if it's a chotzer, you can even build it the regular way. So now the Gemara says, Vika da Amri, other people said, use the same price as a question on Rav Chisda. What does it say? Toshma Kamal, prove it. It says, the same braise. A wall that's leaning over into the street and is dangerous, says Rubina Kadarke, he allowed to destroy the wall and build it in the normal way, because of Sakana. So the Gemara's question is, you the braise only says you could do it because of danger, but not because of loss of money. So it's a question of Chista, because Rav Chista said if there's a wall and a chotzer where there's a loss of money, you can fix it regularly. And the braise says only because of sakana. So Gemara says, truth to Rav Chista, it's a question of Chista. So Gemara says, no. Ha malach Rav Chista, Rav Chista says, the difference between the braise and here is different. Ha sam seisir ubeine. The difference is like this. When the Braise says you could do it because of Sakana, the Braise says you could demolish and fix. Two things you could do. Here, Bain of Alay says it. But here we're talking about only rebuilding, but not demolishing it. Meaning, here we're talking Cholomayd. There you're talking about Cholomayd. You could talk about demolishing the wall because of Sakana. So it's like we really said before from the Ritva. The reason why we're saying over there Sakane is to give us permission to demolish the wall. Here we're talking for a loss of money. You could also build the wall, not demolish it. So the Gemara asks, Hasam Nami Lister Vele Livne. So let him be allowed to demolish the wall and not to rebuild it on Cholomayd. Why, by the case of Sakane, do we say that you can destroy the wall and build it because it's dangerous? Let him just destroy the wall and not rebuild it. So as we said before, if you're not going to let him rebuild it, we said before from the Ritva, he's not going to build it. He's not going to destroy if you don't let him rebuild it. And because it's dangerous, we tell him, you know what, go ahead and demolish and build.
Building it because he wanted to rebuild it for safety? Does he want it
not safety, because he doesn't want to, money. For money. People shouldn't break in.
This leaning wall into the public domain on Shabbos, it might cause that is dangerous.
Then you have to know how much danger is shayach, or if you could tell people to walk around. You were talking about Cholomayd. On Shabbos, if it's sakana, you'd have to put actual things that people shouldn't go there. That won't necessarily allow chilul Shabbos minatayra. Because here it says that I'm anas livnes. The malach of destruction is destruction with the intent of construction. Stam destroying on Shabbos is only rabbinic. But when a guy knocks down a fence to rebuild it, that's the real malach of Seisir. So you have to know what's the sakana, and if the sakana could be avoided in a different way, then there's no heter to do it. What?
Someone has a dangerous fence. We want them to knock it down so that other people don't get hurt, but the reason for rebuilding it may be their own physical protection, like people by alarm systems.
Yeah, but if you don't let them rebuild it, he's not going to knock it down. So that's what the Gemara is saying, explaining. If you don't let him rebuild it, he's not going to knock it down, and that's going to be dangerous for people. It doesn't matter why the reason is. The reason is because of money. It doesn't matter, he's still not going to take it down. Amar Avashi, what?
Someone has a question. If somebody's breaking into your house on Shabbos, are you allowed to call the police?
Yeah, nowadays you could. Because it could be dangerous. Unless it's your father breaking into the house. Then you can... No, that's the din.
Lost the key.
Son and a father, father and a son. Amar Rashi. Basnisa Nami Deka. I'll even prove this concept from the Mishnah. discounted the Rav Chista said. Because Tani, it says in the Mishnah, Beshvias Beinekadarke, it says by Shemitah, you could build the wall in the usual manner. What was Rav Chista's din? Rav Chista said that the din of the Mishnah is only by a garden, not by a chotzer, not by a courtyard. Right? So he said, I'll even prove it to you from our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says, in Shemitah, you could build it normally. Now, if the Mishnah is speaking about a courtyard, why can't they build a courtyard fence during Shemitah? The fact that the Mishnah has to say, you could do it during Shemitah, means we're talking about a field. And the din is, you can build a fence around the field in Shemitah. But if we're talking about a courtyard fence, so what's that have to do with Shemitah? And that's what Rav Ashi says. It says in the Mishnah, Ubashvi is doing the Shemitah. Beine Kedarki, you're allowed to build the wall the normal way. He said, the Hech, what wall are we talking about? Ilei Medochotzer, if you're talking about building a wall, that means the Mishnah says you cannot professionally build a wall normally during during Chol HaMoed, but Shemitah you could. He says, Tzricha L'meim, I need a Mishnah to tell me you could build a wall during Shemitah. Why not? There's nothing to do with a field. El Olav, the Gina. So you must say, what type of wall are we talking about? Of a Gina. And the Chiddush is, by Shemitah, you can build a wall around the garden. So the Gemara says, Alpha gav de merse, commander of a nitirus lepeda, even though it appears as if you're making protection for produce, which is forbidden, Shmami no, it teaches us that no, you are allowed to build it during Shemitah. But the Gemara proves in the Mishnah, Rav Ashi proves in the Mishnah, that the actual case of the wall cannot be speaking about a chotzer. Because with chotzer, I don't need a din to tell me, Shemitah, you're allowed to build. What?
What I was saying before, with the fence, was that near the Rishut HaRavim?
Yeah, the fence is next to Rishut HaRavim. That's falling down, you mean?
The one that's falling down.
Yeah, the Gemara says clearly. The Gemara says, "Case al geichel l'rishus harabim." Otherwise, it's not dangerous. If nobody's walking, what's the danger? Okay, let's start the next mission at least. Now, there's a din. This has nothing to. This also has to do with Yom Tov, but it's not to do with building. Not to do with Chol HaMoed. This is a very different concept completely. If a guy has leprosy, a kohen has to check it out to see if it's leprosy or not. Sometimes the kohen says right away you're a leper. Sometimes the kohen says right away you're not a leper. And sometimes the kohen has to lock you up for a week. Sometimes for 2 weeks. Okay? Now, the Gemara is this... Nobody speaks Lashon Hara. I've never seen a Jew speak Lashon Hara. So now the Mishnah discusses, can a kohen rule on Tzaraas during Yom Tov? What's the difference? I allowed to make a person miserable during Yom Tov. Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah that you have to be happy. So then the question is, can a kohen make somebody a leper on Yom Tov? It doesn't matter. That's why it says in the Gemara, it says chosen. With the samachta, with the simach hasishtei, and my chol hamoed, it says samachta bechagecha. Okay, so it says Rav Meir says like this. We'll still start the Mishnah. Reinus and negadim betchila lahakel. A kohen is allowed to inspect negoyim leprosy on chol hamoed only if he's going to rule lenient. That means, and we're going to see this in the Gemara. I mean. By the way, next week there's no Shias Lag BaOmer. But Lag BaOmer, because I'm going to be in New York. But besides that, I wouldn't have a Shias anyway. We're having a picnic or whatever. Now, the din is that according to Rav Meir, a kohen has an option of looking at a leprosy, and he has an option to rule or not to rule. That means a kohen, according to Rav Meir, has an option to say it's good, but if he thinks it's no good, he can just keep quiet. And until the kohen proclaims it leprosy, the guy's not tummy. So the mayor says, and this is what the mayor says, a kohen can look at a neg on chol hamoed. If he'll be lenient, he could rule. If he feels he can't be lenient, he just quiet. But he can't be strict. because like he said, then you're causing the guy not to be happy on Yom Tov. Chachamim eimrim, loy lahokav v'loy lahachmir. Chachamim say you can't do it either way. Because the Chachamim hold, not the Krabeir. The Meir holds you could look at a nega, and if you want to be lenient, you could, and if not, you don't have to do anything. Chachamim hold, once the Krayin looks at it, it got to go either way. So Krayin can't go then just be lenient, because if he goes, he might have to be strict, and then he's going to proclaim the guy either locked up or a leper or whatever, and he's going to ruin his Yom Tov. So the Chachamim said, you don't even bother looking. You can't even bother looking.
Postpone
it. And again, until you postpone, until you proclaim, it's like the pasuk says in Mitzrayim that we learned a few weeks ago. If somebody comes to a Kohen and they say, I think I have leprosy in my house. Yeah? What does the Kohen do? The first thing the Kohen says is, take everything out of the house. Take everything out of the house. Why? Because if the Kohen comes to the house and sees it's leprosy, everything in the house is tummy. But like this, he takes out everything so nothing is tummy. So the Gemara asks, but if the house is tummy, so then retroactively everything should become tummy. So Gemara says, no, until the Kohen says tummy, it's not tummy. So according to the Meir, you look. You could be lenient, make the guy happy. You can't, go out. But if it's a case where the Chachamim hold, neither way can you do it.
So in other words, the Kohen does have to show up, but if he feels that he would have to rule harshly...
No, Kohen, the Chachamim, you don't show up.
No, he didn't show up.
No examination.
No, the Chachamim, you can't inspect.
Oh.
Because once you come, Chachamim hold, you have an obligation to rule.
Oh, I see.
What?
Well, just as an aside, is a Beit Din allowed to rule on Yom Tov or Shabbat?
No. We learn now from a pasuk in Chumash, Le'isivadu eish b'chomish v'isechem b'yem ha-Shabbos. You're not allowed to kindle a fire on Shabbos. So the Gemara learns out, Mikan she'en ein enshim b'Shabbos. The Gemara says, why? Because one of the capital punishments is Sreifa. One of the capital punishments is burning. And therefore, if you can't burn, because you can't make a fire, so basically the Torah says, no, you can't give Malkus, you can't nothing. Besdin doesn't even sit on Shabbos.
Or Yom Tov.
On vacation.
Huh?
Vacation.
Vacation. They're off here.
Nice.
What?
Okay.